Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome to episode 144 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Yu Yu Hakusho episodes 42 through 44, where Kuwabara feels the power of love. Not Genkai is definitely not Genkai, and Hiei shows himself to be a real cut-up.
He's just a total cut-up. He's the cuttiest.
Oh, that Hiei!
He's just a little snickerdoodle. He's a wing dangler. He's just a tink-winkler. He's just a... Let's jump in.
That's good. Tink Winkler.
I think I like the last
Hello,
one the best.
I am Tink Winkler. Winkler.
hey everybody. Welcome back. As you're listening to this, you have very low to no
time.
Yeah,
I think technically by the time you're able
show.
To listen to this, unless our schedule gets messed up again, you will have run out of time to vote because we will have already recorded the episode.
I mean, no. We have this episode comes out on Friday of this week. And so we record the next show that we're going to be recording is
Kill la Kill's after the replacement.
Kill la Kill, right? Oh no. It's already been decided, you guys. I'm sorry to tell you.
Whoops. That. Hope you voted.
So by the time you we told you to vote before that, so you should have already voted. Do you voting voters? Maybe. Probably. Anyways, whatever. Hey, we've been having a good time lately, you guys. We had a review
so
recently
good.
That made me like straight up tear up to read. It was so sweet. It was just the nicest. It made me so happy. So that was great. So if you ever want to leave us a review that just is going to perk up our days, we want to have those reviews. Also, if you just want to write us, we totally want to chat with you. We got some emails back and forth with some people recently. One of them was asking like, what inspired you to do the show? And I was just like, that's fun. And another person, asked me today about them posting on YouTube and doing their reviews and their thoughts about other kind of things. So I really enjoy having those conversations. So if you ever want to write to us, I'm totally down for that.
I don't.
Anyways, do you have any anime news?
I really, really don't. Yeah, my Google News feed has decided.
I have a little bit of anime.
It used to show
news.
Me stuff about anime, and then lately it has not. I don't know. One Piece is over 1,000 chapters for a few weeks now. That's the news.
Yeah, my big thing is that, oh my god, can we get people to shut up about the last season of Attack on Titan? Because I swear to god, Blake had this conversation about how Reddit was being destroyed by
Stonks.
Yeah,
it still is, but we're not going to talk about it this
last
week.
Last week's episode of the Monday Pod. But the thing that my Twitter feed has been destroyed with is people coming to realizations from Attack on Titan, the people that are not caught up with the manga, and they're just like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, and I'm like, I get it, man. Attack on Titan is, like, really big for so many people, but at the same time, I have other fun manga and anime to talk about, so let's not always talk about this. Also, I had a straight-up ridiculous conversation with somebody recently on Twitter where they were trying to convince me that Madara would lose to Aizen. and or to would beat Aizen in a fight. And I was like, I don't know if you've ever watched Bleach, but number one, Aizen exists on a different plane of existence than Madara does. So he wouldn't be able to perceive him, but let's say they are able to perceive each other. Aizen has a power that we haven't gotten to in our coverage yet, but it makes him basically undefeatable. Like, it's just, I don't know, having conversations with people on Twitter about who would win in a fight where there's two very different magic systems.
That's also the cornerstone of nerd culture, though, for real.
It's just like...
like, who would win is one of the foundational nerd
Somebody also had a conversation... Yeah, my favorite ones are always, who would win in a fight between this random Naruto character and Goku from Dragon Ball Z? And I'm like, here's the thing about Dragon Ball Z. In Dragon Ball Z rules, anybody in Dragon Ball Z would be able to defeat anyone in Naruto. Because, like, they move so insanely fast, they can all fly, and they can use, like, energy weapons that are just
many
so
of
insanely
them could
powerful.
Accidentally destroy a planet just, if they didn't have control over themselves. Like, that's just a... it's a completely separate league of power. Yeah, I don't... yeah. I do... I agree. I see a lot of people that are like, Dragon Ball Z comparison, and it's like, Dragon Ball Z power levels don't compare. Like, Naruto and Bleach power levels do compare. I think those are relatively comparable. They also came out around the same time. I think you could, you know, you could take a character from one and smash it against a character from the other and have an interesting conversation. But yeah, if you're taking Dragon Ball Z as read, they are too strong.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like introducing any character from Yu Yu Hakusho or Hunter x Hunter to try to fight against anybody from most anime universes. The creator of Hunter x Hunter and Yu Yu Hakusho has a good grasp on magic systems. And because of that, a lot of the time, the magic systems are very locked in stone. And these characters wouldn't be able to battle against some of these characters who have very loosely defined how powerful they can be powers, where they're more powerful than a normal human or a normal demon, but not nearly as powerful as basically any ninja in Naruto. Like, you know, it's just Yusuke for a lot of Yu Yu Hakusho can fire like two spirit guns in a day. So, like,
yeah, like, do I think
other than
Yusuke
that,
would
he's just a guy that
season
can punch
one Naruto?
Good.
Yes. Do I think Yusuke in general would beat Naruto in general? Very much no. I don't even think it would be a contest. Hey, yeah. I thought of some news.
Yeah. But anyways,
the Digimon
that
card
being
game
said,
is out.
What's that?
It came out a couple weeks
I'm
ago
not
now,
interested.
I think, maybe 1 week ago.
I'm joking.
Yeah,
I
talked to the Geekly Grind guys. They reached out to the company publishing it and kind of didn't get a good response. And it sounded like we got waitlisted and then not picked. So I did not get any Digimon cards sent to me for review. I cannot find them in stores. The Digimon TCG subreddit seems to corroborate this experience. It sounds like the supply is pretty limited, and that a lot of people, when they find it, are like buying up most of it. Like, if you find it at Target, like, people are like buying up the entire supply at Target. You know,
that's so sleazy.
I think it's
to me.
Shitty a little bit, but it's not necessarily there. Like, it doesn't sound like they're buying up a ton of product. It sounds like the Digimon card game is occupying a pretty small space because it's a brand new card game. It's a recognizable property, but it's nowhere near as big of a property as Magic or as Pokemon, which are usually the ones you find on those things at like Target. And so, like, I get it. It's a new game. It's untested here in the West. They don't know how well it's going to do. You know, assuming they have to pay to take some of the space away from those card game companies, I don't think they're going to be spending a lot of money. I think they're going to take, you know, a little bit and see how it does. So, you know, I went to one of my local game stores. I went to a Target. I couldn't find it. I looked at some other store. I can't remember. There's a couple of other local game stores around me that I haven't gone to, but I do believe it's pretty hard to find. That said, there's an app that's free. You can download. I think it's like the Learn to Play Digimon TCG app or something like that. And it gives you like 3 on rails tutorials that show you more or less the basics of how the game works. And then you have 3 different half decks, one for the 3 different colors of the different starter decks of the first set. And you can play with those against each other. So it's not a ton of cards. It's definitely not like a full blown. It's not like Magic Arena for this card game, but it is an extremely functional app. It's pretty spiffy. It works really, really simply and easily, and does a good job of getting through the rules relatively quickly. Probably if you've never played a card game, it might not do quite enough for you. I also had read a little bit about the rules before I used the app, so I semi-understood what was happening on the board already. And there are some things, like if I found the Digimon cards out at the store and tried to set up a game, I don't think the app taught me how to set up a game myself. But I do know more or less how the game plays now, and you can learn that really quickly. I also know that the official Twitter for the Digimon card game localized here in the U.S., has already said that the demand is high enough that they've ordered a second printing, but that it is delayed because of the coronavirus. So they don't know when it's going to be done. They do understand that the product is pretty scarce right now due to higher demand than I think they anticipated. So there's more coming, but we don't know when.
Yeah, I would say, speaking of something and somebody that is close to my heart, a lot of the LGSs that are out there, and that sense for local game stores, they're hurting. So if you think to yourself, man, I want to support something that is important to me, go out and support an LGS today. Even if it's going up there to see if they have your card game in stock. And if they don't, maybe think about, you know, something fun that you could play out of that LGS, just so that you can continue to support them as well, especially right now. I have the store in Memphis. If you're ever here and you want to visit a store, the owner is a friend of mine. It's called Comic Cellar. Comic Cellar is fantastic. Blake used to play at Comic Cellar with me when he used to live in Memphis as well. They are a great store, and I would love for you to support them. He has a solid side business of actually selling comics in like a monthly format, which is a really cool way to do it as well. So if you collect comics, you should definitely reach out and be a part of this. The way he does it is you basically tell him what comics you want to follow, and he will set those aside in a bag, and then you come pick them up inside of like a monthly subscription service. And it's a really cool thing that he does. And also, he's got a bunch of games and stuff inside of there. The other one that Blake and I both very, very frequently went to, if you're in the Chicagoland area and you haven't heard about it, you're living under a rock. But if you have heard about it and you want to go to it, there's a place called Dice Dojo. They're the dang best.
It's probably my favorite game store I've been to, but Comic Cellar would be a very close second. I definitely feel like I was able to connect with the owner at Comic Cellar a little bit more, probably partly because it's not quite as busy.
Yeah, Jason's great.
But he's just a cool guy. The people at Dice Dojo are very cool also, but they're busy. So they got other stuff to do.
Yeah. They're probably I haven't kept up with how they're faring through pandemic, but they've always done pretty good, but I can't imagine that anybody is doing their best right now. So if you ever want to support, you should definitely go out and do that. Daish Dojo is also, when pandemic allows them to do it again, I'm sure that they're probably having difficulty doing this right now, but they have a massive two-story wall of games that you can test. It is a great time for just to go in there and just play whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, it's a smart move. Not all game stores have the space for this, but it's something that I was like, if I ever opened a game store, I would try to do this the way that Daish Dojo did it, by providing these games mm-hmm. to play so that people can try out a game. Because I know for myself, there are tons of games that I don't own that I think sound cool, but I've got a lot of games and games are expensive. And at this point, because of how many games I own, if I'm going to add another one to my collection, I need to be maybe a little more selective and make sure that it's not overly similar to another game that I have, because I already have that game. I play Marvel Legendary, as it's a deck building game. I love mm-hmm. it. I really love deck building games, but I don't own any other ones because I like Marvel Legendary so much. And there's also a ton of expansions to buy for Marvel Legendary. So there's always new content for that game, and the game is really diverse just because of how many different combinations of characters you can use. But, I don't particularly care about playing like Ascension. I like, what's that one? Star Realms a lot, but, Legendary is just, it has my heart for the deck builders. And so having that wall where I can be like, hey, is this deck builder super different or not? And if it is, I might buy it because I love deck builders.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, I don't want to play just any old deck builder and be like, man, I like this, but I wish this character were Spider-Man. It's a great idea. So Daish Dojo is awesome.
My last place that I wanted to plug from places I've lived and played at, basically whatever city I live in, I try to find an LGS that I almost exclusively go to. When I was living in Portland, the one that I played at almost exclusively was CCG House. They're great. They have a good website if you like Magic. They're based out of Vancouver, Washington, which is just a stone's throw from Portland, just north. And that's the place that I met basically my entire play group of people at that store while I was living in Portland. And I was like, this is a good group. And, Blake and I can both attest to this. Daish Dojo in, Chicago, we met a very intensely close group of friends that we are still close with because we went to this store. So if you're ever one of those people that's like in the anime universe and you might be like game or like board game adjacent or play card game adjacent, and you're looking for more like-minded people that live inside of your own city, a lot of times a great place to go is just go up to like an open board game night or go up for like a card game night to like your local to your LGS, and you can usually find some people that are like, hey, we're down to play whatever. Like we went one time to a game store in Memphis, and we were like, we want to play Arkham, we only have three people, we need at least four to have a good time. So we just went up there and like two people randomly joined in with us, and we played a 5-hour game. So people are down the clown a lot of time when they're going to these stores.
That you can invite over when it's not Friday and you want to play more Magic or, whatever day Pokemon does. But yeah, exactly. Obviously there's a big asterisk there. We're not endorsing you inviting strangers into your home right now. But, most of these local game stores have big Magic events, sometimes multiple times a week. So if you play Magic, that's a great opportunity. I think most of them run Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Those are the other two biggest card games right now. So if you're into or interested in any of those, you're usually going to find that the store owners or the patrons are happy to help teach you unless there's an event going on right now. Like, don't walk up to somebody who's in the middle of a game, or don't walk up to the owner when they're, you know, in the middle of Friday Night Magic and they're trying to run a tournament while also check people out. But like,
oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh man. This happens so often inside of LGS. It's like, I see it happening all the time, and they're just like, I want to have a long conversation with you about comics.
Yeah, so like,
and
it's just like, pick your battles, read minutes. The room. But like, if you're looking to learn something new, and again, I'm glad you brought up comics too, because I know not everybody likes to play board games, not everybody likes to play card games. Although, you know, give it a shot. Maybe you do and you just don't realize it. But also, comics are great. I'm a big fan of comics, and I don't know all the comics that are out there. So, you know, if your local game store or your local comic shop, some local game stores also sell comics, so they will be able to give you recommendations. You can talk to them about things you've read, or even just stories that might interest you, like, oh, I like superhero mm-hmm. stories, or I grew up watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or like, I don't know how it is now, but I know... when it first came out for a couple of years, there was a relaunch of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comics that were like actually excellent, sort of like adult storytelling comic books that were using these same characters from the, you know, the 90s kids show. And so it was like, if you grew up reading them and now you're an adult looking for like a more intense story, you might like that. And your comic book store owner is going to know that. If you don't know how to play a game, they'll probably... be happy to teach you the basics of things like Magic or Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! I know one of the local game stores in Cheyenne, Wyoming, you know, every third time I go in there, he's got another deck that he wants to show me. And if I were walking in there as a completely untrained person and he's just kind of hanging out and nobody is like, his store's not busy, he's probably going to be willing to sit there and play a game with me, even if that game is teaching me how to play. So if you're interested in any of these games, that's a good opportunity. If you're interested in the Digimon card game, it is new. It's a well-known fact that most card games can't get a foothold because the, you know, big three, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon have too much of a foothold. But you can also often find a small and passionate community. So I think this game looks fun. It looks different enough from those three games. After playing around, I think it has a pretty quick play style, sort of similar to Yu-Gi-Oh! In that with Magic, you know, you're sort of like, you're building out your resources and there's a lot of mental calculation going on with Magic. With Yu-Gi-Oh! There's strategy, but it's a little bit more straightforward and the games therefore have a bit of a quicker pace. I think that the Digimon card game, it feels like you're not managing your resources quite as much. You're mostly just sort of like playing things and attacking with those things. I found it to be super different from Magic, which is the game that I play, and a really sort of like high energy, very fast game, kind of fun, good time. So I think it's definitely the kind of thing, if you're interested in checking it out, it seems like it's pretty simple rules, feels different than those big three games, while being, you know, very recognizable. I think the art on the cards is really good. So I'm excited about this game. I haven't gotten my hands on it, but I did play a little bit of the app. And I'm looking forward to playing more of it. If you're excited, it sounds like they're doing pretty well and it's a little hard to find it. But if you can seek it out, then, you know, giving them that support and that early boost will make it likely that the game will last a little longer and potentially reach more people. So, you know, it's hard to find, but it is technically out there and more is coming and I'm excited about it. And I guess that's my news. Wow, we talked a long time about me not having news at the beginning there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going for. Anyways,
oh yeah.
You know what we should do is we should get into the episodes, because I loved every episode we watched today and I'm ready to talk about them. But before we can, let's talk about what happened previously on Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yusuke Urameshi, he is killed at the beginning of the series trying to save a kid from being run over by a truck. Because he died doing a good deed, he's given the opportunity to come back to life, and he does successfully. Once he has come back to life, he develops supernatural powers, including the ability to fire out bursts of his spirit energy in the form of a gun called a spirit gun, and also the ability to see spiritual beings, demons, and that kind of thing around him. He is then tasked by the underworld to be a spirit detective and help them solve cases in the human world and things like that. He goes on quite a few adventures, and in one of his most recent adventures, he meets this guy named Togoro, who's a big bad dude who can make himself bigger and badder. And he's able to beat Togoro, but not kill Togoro. And Togoro is so intrigued by his potential as a fighter that he then basically forces Yusuke to join this thing called the Dark Tournament. The Dark Tournament takes place, I believe, in the realm of demons, but there are some regular humans there because it's essentially a gladiatorial betting match. So very rich humans come and put forward teams that they think will win and bet enormous sums of money on it. Then the stands of the tournament are full of just demons because the demons don't need to bet money on it. They're just excited to see a little bit of bloodshed because they are bloodthirsty demons. So now the Dark Tournament is going on. Togoro is this big bad dude who is on one of the teams. Yusuke brought with him several of the friends he's made through his adventures. One is a half demon named Kurama. One is a full demon named Hiei, and one is a full human named Kuwabara. I don't think Hiei does a lot in this episode, or Kurama. I think mostly you need to know about Kuwabara. Kuwabara is one of Yusuke's closest friends, even though if you asked either of them, they would say that they are not friends and they are enemies, because they grew up in sort of rival gangs and were always fighting each other. But then when Yusuke was dead for a little while, Kuwabara was the one that was the most sad about it because they meant so much to each other. And so they're kind of like friends who don't admit that they're friends. There's also this mysterious fifth member of their team. They like to refer to this member as the Masked Fighter. We on this podcast like to refer to this fighter as not Genkai, because there's a character named Genkai who is an older woman that trained Yusuke to become stronger. This character, the Masked Fighter, is wearing all of Genkai's clothes and is the same height, and some of the hair poking out of not Genkai's mask is the same color and shape as Genkai's hair, and the eyes are the same, and it's clearly just Genkai. Except one time recently when the Masked Fighter was fighting and the mask fell off and it was a woman, which is also what Genkai is, but it was a much younger woman with slightly brighter hair. And so maybe it's not Genkai, but maybe not Genkai really is Genkai after all. And maybe we'll find out the answer to that in these episodes. Let's start with 42.
All right. So episode 42, A Matter of Love and Death. This episode is great, and anybody who tries to argue with me about it should go and fall off a cliff, because...
Are people arguing with you?
Oh, man. So this is one of those episodes that people get really frustrated about because there is cartoon logic inside of it, and a lot of people get really mad about it.
I'll stand up for them a little bit at the end here, but let's get to the end first.
Okay, so first and foremost, we're gonna see our good friend Togoro kill people in his favorite way, which is to touch their head in a seemingly not hard way, and then their head explodes, or you know, kick someone's head off. Whatever you're gonna do, it's gonna kill you.
Whatever it is, it will be decapitation.
Yeah, so that's what happens. Togoro kills this guy, and then we go back to our fight.
He kills one of the rich guys because specifically the rich guy is pulling strings to make the tournament less fair to Yusuke's team. And so he's like utilizing arcane rules that aren't really used, or even sort of making up or misinterpreting intentionally some of the established rules so that he can twist the game to work against Yusuke's team, because he has bet against Yusuke and he wants to make a lot of money. Togoro wants Yusuke to fight his way through the tournament because in doing so, Yusuke will get stronger, and Togoro just wants to have a strong person to fight. So Togoro does not like this, and he, you know, flicks the dude's head off.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, in the ring, Kuwabara is about to get into a fight with Risho. Kuwabara can barely stand up. He has basically decided that he is going to continue in this fight because he needs to be... in this fight, because he's the only one that's allowed to fight in this fight. Risho is first and foremost going to tell him he is way more powerful than even if Kuwabara could stand up, so Kuwabara should just go ahead and give up. But since he doesn't, Risho is just like, I do have powers, by the way, and it's that I can surround myself in rocks, turn myself into a rocky, spiky football player, and then I can jump into the air and turn into a meteor and do Draco Meteor and slam into the ground. And it's going to hurt you real bad, and it's not going to hurt me because earth powers. And Kuwabara gets hit a couple of times, and he's just like, I'm not going to go down. And the only thing that's going to help me to keep on is to finally use the last of my energy and use my life energy to defeat you, Risho. And he, like, prepares, like, he's going to kill himself. And then something else happens. And that something else is that Kuwabara has this girl named Yukina, who you heard about in previous episodes. It's Hiei's sister.
Yeah, I think she's technically a female snow spirit or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, she looks like any old human girl that's pretty. Yeah,
it's Hiei's sister. And she doesn't know that. She's going to come into the arena with Yusuke's... why can't I remember her name off the top of my head? Yusuke's love interest and also Kuwabara's sister. And he's going to catch her, like, he catches her from across the room, and he's just like, oh my god, you're here, Yukina? I have the power to fight now. And I'm like, what?
Love.
Yes, exactly. So he gets all the power he needs. He is able to use that power to immediately defeat Risho and slams him across the entire place and wins the fight because of it. And this is one of, like, the hotly debated things from Yu Yu Hakusho, where it's just like, where did he get this power from? He was defeated, and it was clearly identified that the only power that he had left, his love for Yusuke and his team is such that he was willing to give up his life in order to do this. But for some reason, love gave him the power to fight through it. And I think people get annoyed by this because there is a clearly defined magic system inside of this creator's universes. And this breaks that magic system in half. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, okay. So, and you said you were going to defend this a little bit because you really like this. Is that, did I hear you correctly?
So my argument inside of it is that I like a lot when people get power out of nowhere. And as someone who is a Bleach fan, you will understand me when I say that there is a metric ton of ass pulling that happens with Ichigo's power coming out of nowhere. It happens a lot. It is the same thing that happens when Naruto doesn't have the power to fight, but he still finds insane amount of power out of nowhere to fight. It happens a lot because they have these wells of power that they draw from, and so you can kind of hand wave it a little bit, but the problem inside of this one is that normally they don't have this kind of thing. However, it is so endearing and fun to watch that I sort of just am okay with the cartoon logic.
Yeah, so I will say I agree. I would say, you know, you
oh my
and
God,
I
her
are
name
both
is
big...
Keiko.
Oh yeah, yep, you're right. So you and I are both fans of Bleach, but you are a much bigger fan of Bleach than I am. Because I think for you, you just like, obviously you don't love Bleach top to bottom. Like, you know, we've talked on this show many times that just because we love something doesn't mean we don't see the faults in that thing. And, you know, we both routinely point those out. But I think I have a harder time with things like that. Like, Ichigo's number one power, as far as I can tell, is getting stronger when the plot calls for it. And
he's a real Goku of the situation.
Yeah, it is. I would say that with Ichigo's, it seems so random. Like, and so his seems so sudden. In I think a way that has a lot of parallels to what's going on here. So we're not going to get too much into the Bleach thing. If you want to hear us talk about Bleach, we have a patron only Bleach episode that comes out once a month. And you can listen to us talk a lot about Bleach there. We are just now getting into the second major story arc. So go join us there if you want to hear us talk a lot about Bleach. And let me tell you, we're getting into the part of the story where we're going to be talking a little bit more about those ass pulls. So that's going to be coming up. But this also makes me think of two things from Naruto. One, we just covered in our most recent Naruto Shippuden episode, the very stupid filler fight between Team Guy and their doppelgangers that they win by deciding that the way to win is be stronger than your opponent. And then having decided that, they become stronger than their opponent. That was stupid. And this has a little bit of that. But it also reminds me of way back when, at the end of the original Naruto series, when Choji used an ability that said on the tin that in using it, he would expel his life energy and so cause his own death. And then later it is revealed that he did not die, and the whole rules of using this and the trade-off thing was sort of hand-waved. And so, like, you know, the stakes felt really artificial, and the payoff, while, you know, it's nice to see that a character that is, you know, generally likable is still around, you know, it was sort of bucking the rules. And so if I'm following, people that had a problem with this are feeling a little bit like we felt during that scene, which was you established a consequence for this character's actions. That character went through with those actions, and then the consequence was not followed through on. And I see what those people are saying. So essentially, Kuwabara is doing something that we saw Yusuke do in a previous story arc, which is when he ran out of energy, he was able to pull on his own life energy. So in this series, there seems to be a difference between spirit energy, which is kind of your ambient anime power set, and life energy, which is literally the energy keeping you alive. And so if you were to run out of spirit energy, you could tap into your life energy. The life energy seems to be purer and stronger, but at the cost of literally shortening or potentially threatening your own life.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, several of the characters note specifically, Kuwabara is pulling on his life energy, similar to what Yusuke did previously. Dissimilar from what Yusuke did previously, Kuwabara is at such a disadvantage and is so injured that pulling on his life energy right now is like burning the candle at both ends in fast forward. Like, he is going to die because he doesn't have enough life energy to beat Risho without expending all of it. And so then Yukina comes along. He sees Yukina and he finds a new energy in himself. And I see where people might say that that is then, you know, reneging on that stake that was placed on this fight. But for me, I felt like it was a little goofy. It was definitely a little cartoon logic. But on the other hand, I thought, like, well, you know, there's all those stories of you're struggling through something and you feel that you're at your limit, and then suddenly something external to you reminds you of a goal or reminds you of the person you're fighting for or fighting to get back to. And you realize that you have a greater store of power than you thought. You felt like you were at your limit, but there was a little bit more that could be pulled from you that you just didn't sort of have the tools to pull on until that moment. So the way that I'm interpreting this is that Kuwabara has not extinguished his spirit energy, but has, as far as he knows, used all of it as far as he can tell. And then he starts pulling on his life energy to sustain himself and to extend the fight, until he sees Yukina. And then because of that, and because of his determination to win and to impress her and to be able to, you know, go talk to her after the fight and whatever, he unconsciously pulls on the remaining store of his own spirit energy replacing the life energy that he was using and winning the fight.
Yeah, it's kind
of. Did that make sense?
Anyways.
I think that's what happened, but I understand people that are upset by this. But it's cool. Also, you know, there's a rule in storytelling that you should create rules and then you should not break them unless the story would be better by breaking them. And then, you know, there's a limit to how much you can break the rules without, you know, ruining your credibility. But if my explanation doesn't do it for you, then just use that explanation. Breaking the rules just a little bit here made for a better story.
Yeah. Okay, that takes us into episode 43, the masked fighter revealed. This episode
gives us a
couple of things. First and foremost, it shows us that Yusuke's spirit beast finally hatched. It's a weird little flying penguin named Pooh. It says Pooh. It's supposed to be real cute. It kind of just looks like a Pokemon that they were like, you know, I'm kind of working on, but at the same time, let's just take the rough draft.
It is one in a long line. It's actually probably one of the earliest in a long line of stupid looking animal sidekicks. Like, I don't know, the dog from Fairy Tail that is just like a humanoid thing with a drill for a nose and doesn't look like a dog even at all.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pretty common trope in anime. This is one of those. I don't get it. The whole spirit egg thing was potentially going to be a beast that would consume Yusuke's spirit if he hadn't done enough good deeds. He did do enough good deeds, so now he has a Furby. I don't know. I don't get it. I haven't seen Yu Yu Hakusho through to the end, so I don't know where this is going, and I don't get it.
Well, you'll see more of it later. Anyways.
Furby!
They're then going to cut back to Yusuke's team and Toguro's team watching from across the stadium at each other, and they're just like, ooh! Everybody in the stadium is just like, oh! And then, meanwhile, there's a fight happening, and this fight is, from the best I can tell, a bunch of snake people inside of these episodes are just going to get completely stomped on. And it makes me think that the creator of the show hates snakes, because the snake people that are going to be fighting in the arena get murdered. The snake people in the previous episode get like punched in the face, and the I don't know. I almost called them Dragon Balls, but I mean, they're snake balls, I guess. when they're trying to stand in front of Yukina and them. Yeah, they're lizard balls. These characters that are fighting in the arena right now are going to be Team Uratogi. Don't worry, eventually they're going to come and they're going to be like, we're going to fight and defeat you, you know, in that way that each one of the different people that fights against Team Yurameshi does. The next thing that is going to happen, though, is possibly the most important thing that happens in the entire Dark Tournament arc, which is that Not Genkai is going to first reveal that Not Genkai is, surprise, Genkai. But when Genkai uses...
Yusuke also says, I knew it! And I was like, you didn't, though. You did not know it. You have demonstrated over and over again that none of you knew it.
Yeah. So, Genkai is going to have the power to use the spirit wave in an incredibly powerful way, which is that when she uses it in this perfect form, it transforms the body into the most perfect version of themselves so they can use the weapon again in the most perfect way. The only way that she has the ability to do this, though, is from unlocking this stored potential that is going to be inside of herself. And she figured out how to do that, and she is going to pass that ball of energy that she perfected into Yusuke to unlock his ability. And she specifically says it's either going to activate your ability or it's going to make you explode from the inside out, bleeding from all orifices until you die. And Yusuke is like, I'm in.
I was about to say something first, but it's actually what we're getting to next.
Yeah. So that takes us into the next episode, which is going to be episode 44, Yusuke's Final Test. I swear, this, like, cutting back and forth between the fight that is happening that is pretty sweet and cutting back to just watching Yusuke just writhe in pain on the ground is really weird. Like,
it's a common, I was going to say a common anime trope, but it's a common storytelling trope. You got your A story, which is the main thing that's happening. You got your B story, which is, you know, probably in some way related to the A story and is something for your characters that are not in the A story to be doing. And, you know, it's really common that you have some sort of tension moment that comes to a tense head and then you cliffhanger cut to whichever is the other story you weren't watching. So they're doing that. But man, one of these stories is not, it's not moving so much as still happening each time you see it.
Oh yeah. It's just brutal. It's like, it's just real, real brutality every time you cut to it. Yusuke, I love when he first takes it in and he's just like, this isn't so bad. And then you get like a camera shot of like his vision going horribly, horribly blurry. And then the next thing that he does is he like doubles forward in pain and he's just like, oh God.
So we also skipped one thing, which is probably my favorite thing about the spirit wave transference, which is Genkai tells Yusuke before she gives it to him, she tells him that she will not give him ultimate power unless he kills her. And then she's like, he's like, what? I don't want to do that. And she's like, well, you can either do that or not have enough strength to fight Toguro. Your decision. I'm going to go wait for you over in this cave. Come to me once you've made up your mind.
Yeah.
So he comes over to her and he's like, look, I hate to do this, but I'm going to give up because I don't have it in me to kill you. And she says, that's the right answer. I, number one, needed to know that you are the kind of person who would not be able to bring themselves to kill someone who, you know, has meant this much to you in your life. But also I needed to know that you are the kind of person determined enough to attain this power that you would not immediately reject it. Like, you're a sociopath if you immediately accept, you're too much of a pushover if you immediately reject. But the fact that he agonized over it and then decided that it would be too much of a moral compromise was what she was looking for, because that means that he has the right temperament not to abuse the power. And I think on the one hand, setting up a sort of arbitrary source of drama and then undercutting it by being like, I was never going to let you kill me anyway. And instead, the true test was you deciding whether or not to kill me all along. It's a bit played out and it's a bit of an obnoxious thing. But here, I think it makes a lot of internal sense. And so I'm giving this one a complete pass. And I thought it actually added quite a bit to the whole thing.
Yeah. As somebody who just watched this episode of Yu Yu Hakusho and has very recently watched Ready Player One again, it is very much that same moment that happens in Ready Player One. If you haven't seen that movie or read the book, major spoilers, but there's going to be a part at the
I've very read the end. Book, but not seen the movie, so well, I don't know how spoiled I'll be.
Well, there's a part at the very end where he's just like, you have to sign this contract, and he's just like, it's not right to sign the contract, and he's just like, yeah, that's what I wanted all along, and I'm just like, Anyways, the other thing...
What was it like?
Yeah, whatever. Anyways...
Also, this is an unrelated side note, probably my last digression. Ready Player 2 is the sequel to Ready Player One. It came out recently, and I don't know that I've ever seen worse reviews for something mainstream.
Yeah, I'm not excited to read it. The movie was good enough for me. I trust George Lucas to make things that are interesting and fun to watch. Even George if the Lucas. Source well, not George Lucas. God, why did I say George Lucas? Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg make things that, well, George Lucas I used to trust, but not after
episode 1 through 3. Yeah, I don't trust George Lucas for shit.
Yeah. 4, 5, and 6 are fantastic, but 1, 2, and 3 are just garbage. Steven Spielberg makes things, even if the source material is just okay, he can make it and turn it into something super entertaining to watch. Ready Player One is very entertaining to watch to me. Play at your own leisure, because some people are like, it's too many tropes, and it's also too many references to the 80s. And I'm just like,
well, that's
Ready Player One is literally a love letter to someone who grew up in the 80s. Get over yourself.
Yeah, it's the plot of Ready Player One is basically, it's like if somebody is like, Dragon Ball Z has no plot, it's only fighting. Yes. the plot of Dragon Ball Z exists to get you from whatever fight was most recent to whatever fight is next, in the way that Ready Player One's plot exists to get you from whatever 80s thing the writer wanted to talk about to whatever 80s thing they want to talk about next.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways,
if that's not for you, don't watch it.
The next thing that is going to happen is the fight. The fight is first going to start off with a guy who can make his body into different axes. Even if he gets his arm cut off, he can turn it into more axes. And he fights against...
I don't need a hand, I just need an axe.
Yeah. He is going to fight against Hiei. Hiei is going to show off that he has gotten much, much more powerful and faster. And this guy is going to start running at him, and then it's revealed that his hand has been cut off. And then the next thing that he's going to do is he's going to turn his cut off hand into an axe arm, and he's going to run and seem to cut Hiei in half. But turns out it was just his coat that he left there. By the way, he left an after image, but does that just mean that his body moves faster than a coat? And also, like, that coat, like, is a nice coat. Like, why?
Yeah.
Just take it with you.
I unironically had a pang of upset when the coat was cut.
Yeah. But anyways, the coat was cut, and then it's revealed that Hiei is on top of his head. And then we have the most brutal stabbing that happens in Yu Yu Hakusho, which he stabs him through the top of his head, down through his mouth, and it is brutal and bloody. And also, if you weren't aware, Yu Yu Hakusho has good animation for when it was coming out. If you're wondering, this is better animation than we've seen in the show so far. And the reason why is because from this point until the end of the Dark Tournament arc is the most amount of money that has been put into Yu Yu Hakusho's budget from the entirety of the show being made so far. So it's not going to be to the same level as some of, like, the, you know, the Sakuga that you're going to see inside of the Naruto episodes, but it is definitely older anime Sakuga. It is.
Yeah.
A markedly higher animation quality, and you can really tell. The sequence where, like, they come back into the arena and see them walking up on each other, you're just like, oh, this is higher quality. You can tell almost immediately.
But also, the show has been high quality the whole time. Yeah. So it's just it's just a delightful show. I would say, I think that's it for our coverage today.
Yeah.
I would note one thing we left out is that Hiei is pissed because in the last round he was tricked into being trapped out of fighting the whole time, and now he wants to fight so badly. And he basically, like, the other team is like, we'll roll a dice we'll roll a die with your names on it. And he is like, okay, but there's only five of us, so if it comes up on the sixth one, I'm fighting. And also Yusuke's not here, so if it comes up on his name, I'm fighting. So Hiei is ready to rumble, and I believe, if the next episode preview is any indication, that he will be continuing on that ready to rumble train when we come back to Yu Yu Hakusho next.
Yeah, stick with us after these credits, and we'll talk about what's coming on next week.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions and presented as part of the Geekly Grind Podcast Network.
Sound editing is done by Rashad English. He's our level 13 sound wizard.
13? Did he jump even more levels?
He gained a lot of experience by defeating the Dark Lord of Smooth Jazz.
Do you mean Chuck Mangione from King of the Hill?
Rashad is the King of the Hill now.
Damn it, Bobby.
Anyway, our podcast is ad-free, and if you want to keep it that way, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandsGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/getjumped.
Also, we have a Discord server. You can find the links to that on all of our social media platforms.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New review episodes come out every Monday, and new rewatch episodes appear every Friday.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Hello, anime fans. My name is Jeremy, and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of The Geekly Grind, a site dedicated to all things geeky. from video games to anime, D&D, board games, comics, and more. Since 2015, we've worked to provide fresh geek content and reviews every week. A big part of our content expansion has been the creation of our very own podcast network, of which this very show is a part of. And if you're listening to this, chances are you need no introduction to Blake and Spencer, who offer two shows every week covering anime and manga series, both new and old. However, if you're looking for more podcasts to fill your commute, or maybe your new working from home arrangement, we've got a few other shows to spotlight that would be a great addition to any Geeks Media menu. First, there's Comic Book Keepers, where you can join Lance and Chris as they discuss comic books, heroes, and their impact on our lives. If comics aren't really your thing, maybe you're looking to find something exciting out in the geekosphere, do a little exploring maybe, you can check out John and Ben's Geeksploration podcast. They cover a variety of topics from video games to the latest Disney announcements, game shows, and more. A real grab bag of geekdom and a fantastic addition to your weekly listening. Maybe you're a Dungeons & Dragons fan. Well, I would invite you to join the Knights of the Roll Table, a comedic and family-friendly audio drama featuring a cast of improv actors bringing their unique flair to D&D. Whatever your geeky interests, chances are we've got a podcast for you, and we're excited to offer convention access, giveaway content, and more as part of our continued partnership with Blake and Spencer Get Jumped. See you next time.
Next week on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped,
we are going to be watching... nothing. We're taking the week off indefinitely. We're not going to put any coverage inside of this. If and when we get more episodes of Hunter x Hunter ever coming out by the creator, we will then plug them into this slot. But I'm joking. We just haven't gotten to the finale of the people voting yet, so we don't have a clear cut of what's coming on next week. But something. It'll be something.
Maybe.